That's so important. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke, the 11th chapter. We're looking at verses 9 through 13. We're in that 8th sermon of series of 9 sermons about the Lord's Prayer, or the model prayer. Jesus had been asked to teach the disciples how to pray. They had seen John teach his disciples, John the Baptizer, teach his disciples how to pray. They had seen Jesus pray. And so now they were looking to him to teach them to pray like he did. He gave us what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. And in that process, Luke and Matthew recorded them for us, and we are still using them today as a model and a means of praying and worshiping him. Now, I have to admit to you guys, I've made a terrible mistake. When I came here in Thanksgiving last year, 2023, I said I could not come with a plan on how we would change the circumstances of our church. I did not come with a strategy to revitalize. I said we had to worship, study the Bible, and pray to determine God's will, God's direction for us as a church to reach our community and revitalize it. I have to admit to you, I have it backwards. I have become more convinced over the last 2 months as I studied this and looked at it, currently reading a book about revivals and the great awakenings that have taken place since the New Testament church began at Pentecost. And I've come to understand that if we're going to know and do God's word, God's will, God's work, we have to pray, study the Bible, which will produce worship. We have to start with prayer. I've fallen in the same trap that so many other people did. Prayer is the last resort. It's the last thing we do. And that's absolutely backwards. And that's what Jesus is teaching us through that long prayer. That if we're going to know God, if we're going to understand God, if we're going to talk with God, we have to begin with prayer. Coming out of prayer, he's going to send us to his word, because that's how we hear from him. That's how he teaches us. That's how he gives us instruction. And as we pray and as we study the word and hear from him, that drives us to worship. That's when we come before him. That's when we bow and worship and adore him. And we realize there are no other like him. So I confess that error to you. And I'm going back, and we're going to start with prayer as a part of what we are going to do to determine God's will and God's work that he wants us to be involved in as we revitalize Pinecrest Baptist Church. If that cannot happen, then it will not be very many years before we're doing an autopsy on the church, like I had to do at Winter's Chapel, because they would not and did not seek and accept God's plan and God's work to reach the 70,000 people that live within 10 minutes of that building. We can't fall into that. We have to look at the Lord's promise and understand what he said to us. The disciples desired to know God's will, and they desired to know how to pray like Jesus was praying. Now, when we began the sermon series on the Lord's or the model prayer, we understood that the disciples were asking how they should pray. We have to desire to pray. We have to desire to talk to God. We had a special time with Dean's family yesterday, and most of our family was together. We had a pretty good time together, having fun together. I enjoyed talking to the children and the grandchildren, the nieces and the nephews. And we just had a good time together. But when we pray, when we talk to God, we learn some very basic things about how we're going to pray as we study his word. We learned about the God of the universe, and we acknowledge him as a father and how we can talk to him. We've learned that sin separates us from God. We are to come into the presence of the living God, Yahweh, holy, heavenly Father, with a heart that is committed to him and a desire to know him. We acknowledge him as Abba, Father, or Daddy, or Papa, There is that relationship we have with him. And Jesus taught his disciples and the world today, as we're reading God's word, that we are to ask God for the things that he has already said he will provide for us. Our daily bread, not leading us into temptation, that we can know forgiveness and cleansing of sin. And Jesus described how we relate to that Heavenly Father and declare his word to a lost and dying world. Now, Matthew and Luke gave us more information. Jesus gave more meaning about, more teaching about how we are to pray. Jesus shared the story that depicts how a man reacts at the request of others. I've always believed that it is a call to be persistent in our praying. That a man was in bed with his family. The doors were locked. The family was bedded down. And the next thing you know, there is a neighbor beating on the door at midnight. And as he's knocking, he's begging for 3 loaves of bread. You see, a friend had come by, and to be a good person and to show hospitality like it was to be in that culture, he had to feed that friend and his family that came by. So he didn't have any bread. He went to his neighbor and beat on the door. So that friend was looking for help. So many friends would do that. How we should do that. But he wanted to share that hospitality. But the man cried, "Go away. We're all in bed. The house is locked. The lights are out. Leave us alone." And the man wouldn't quit. He just kept beating on the door, kept asking for bread. And it went on and on until finally the man got up and gave him the bread to shut him up. Jesus said, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." That shame. Boldness paid off. With him pounding on the door, the man finally responded. Now, Jesus adds this additional explanation here. We're mere men, and if fathers know how to take care of our children and provide our children with fish and bread rather than rocks and snakes, how much more will the Heavenly Father bless us? Even rocks and snakes. God knows how to give good gifts, and he will give a good gift to us. He said, "We learned at an early age persistence will pay off with our earthly parents. We also know we can go to Nana and Papa and get whatever we need, whatever we want." Years ago, Amanda and her sister Melanie came to me looking for something, wanting something. And they asked me, and I said, "No, we can't do that. No, I won't do that. No, I don't even know what it was about." So they turned and walked off, and as they started back down the basement to their bedroom, their sister Becky was standing there, and Becky said, "If you beg him, he'll give in." She had already learned me, and she shared that word of wisdom with our older sisters, you know. Lesson I learned that day about persistence. If you beg them, they will come. They will give in. The Father, Jesus said, the Father gives better gifts than even our parents and our grandparents. And Jesus asked another question the disciples reported in Luke 11. What father would give a snake to a child that asked for fish to eat? What father would give a scorpion to a child that asked for an egg? Matthew quotes Jesus asking the third question. What father would give a rock to a child that asked for bread? These are far-fetched questions, Jeremiah. We cannot imagine a father doing this and such a thing happening as that. But even in our culture, we would reject that kind of child abuse. And that person would need to be thrown in jail, as most of us would think. Jesus said it was inconceivable that a father would do such a thing. If you, who are sinful men, know how to give a good gift to the children, those that need things by our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? I used to think the message from Jesus was about persistence. That is, if we keep begging, he'll give in about how we should pray. But I've come convicted that Jesus has taught and is teaching us that the Father is looking for our prayers. Jesus said, the Father is watching. The Father is listening. That's what he models in Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. The gospel accounts of Jesus' life over and over again depict him stopping and praying. Jesus got up early and went to pray. Jesus got up and went to a special place, a solitary place. It was his custom to be alone and talk to the Father, that place where he could pray, not be interrupted, not be distracted. He could talk to the Heavenly Father. And he says we should pray always. After the resurrection, just before he ascended back, Jesus told the disciples to go back to Jerusalem and pray until the Holy Spirit comes. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be witnesses to me, and you will go into all the world making disciples. They were immersed in the glory of God, and they moved with power and strength as they went to tell, and 3,000 people were saved the first day that they started speaking for him in Jerusalem. And the fire spread across the world until it was by the middle of Acts being said, they're turning the world upside down. The power that comes with the Holy Spirit. That's what I've come to understand about us Pinecrest. Folks, we're not going to make changes until we're under the power, under the direction, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in our life. You're sitting here listening to me, and you have skills, talents, abilities, and passions that Jesus has brought to this church. And he brought you for the purpose of helping us reach the community around us. And if you're just sitting on Sunday soaking in and saying, oh, I don't like Jesus, you're missing the very purpose that you have from God in our world at this time to turn the world upside down. You remember you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You will teach them everything I have commanded you, is what Jesus told to the disciples. And when the Holy Spirit fell, it was not the fire that was important. It was the blessing of them being able to speak in other tongues, learned tongues, languages that were understandable by the crowds that were in Jerusalem from all over the world. Oh, if I could ask for anything from God today, I would ask to be able to speak in Spanish. Half of our community are Spanish. We could share the gospel much more effectively if that was a part of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I don't have that gift. But I pray that God will still allow me to speak in such a way that people will know. You can know this. Jesus said, I will be with you all the way to the end of the world. And then he tells them, ask, seek, and knock. What is Jesus saying to the disciples? I'm glad you asked. Look at this. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Folks, we need to pray for a movement of the Holy Spirit. You remember I talked about last Sunday, the glory of God that we see. And that's my verse this year. And I told you, if you believe, you would see the glory of God. Jesus said to Martha, standing in front of the grave, where Lazarus' stinking body lay. And he called forth, and Lazarus came alive and came out. If we want to win our community, if we believe that we call on God, he will move. And he will use you to bring souls to the kingdom. So what do we have to do? First thing he said is ask. Ask. This is how you get answers. When you ask questions. When you seek information. When you try to understand what's going on. That's how we get things. We often ask ourselves, what do you want for Christmas or for a birthday? Well, you know, there can come a list. And it's really great when you get a list because you're going to give things that they want. Don't you want to give what people want? That's the idea that Jesus is talking to us, that we're asking. And there is that additional phrase that's hard to buy from you because you've got everything you want or need, is what they say to me. What do you want? Let us know so we can get it. That's the point. The Bible's teaching us the greatest problem we have is not answered prayer. Our greatest problem is we don't ask God. We're not asking God. We do not pray. James 4:2 tells us, you have not because you do not ask. Philippians 4 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayers and petitions with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. The majority of you would agree with me when I say God answers prayer. The problem is we don't pray. Or if it's like me, you've waited to the last and not done it to the first. Remember, the prayer is communication with God. It's talking to God, but it's also listening to God when he answers, and he will answer. We're not telling God something that he doesn't already know. We're talking to God and we're asking him to work in our hearts and our lives. Jesus said in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. Jesus is saying, stay attached to me. Keep talking to me. Keep asking me. By staying connected, we learn from him. We can understand him, and he will know our hearts and our lives even better than we do. If we ask, he will teach us his ways, his will, and what God requires of us. We can't know and do his will if you do not ask him what his will is. If you ask, he will give it to you. But he said, seek also. Seek. Seek means you will explore. You ask, you explore, you look for something, you want to find it. I'm always looking for something. And Gene said, can sit in the living room and tell me where it is in the refrigerator when I can't find it. But I'm wondering in the closet or the refrigerator, she can tell me exactly where it is, because after a minute I become frustrated and I said, where it is, and she will tell me where it is. God's like that. He can tell us. Paul said in Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Paul's thought here is that we seek God, he will work in our life. There's a triangle that we have to realize. The prayer that gets to heaven starts. Prayer is the Holy Spirit working in the mind of the Father, and he places that desire in our heart, then he will send it back to the Father through the power of the cross of the Lord Jesus. From him, through him, to him. Jesus is teaching, as you see the mind and heart of God, yes, you need to call. But there is a time when you have to see the Father and his will. The example is Pinecrest Baptist Church seeking God for revitalization. The pulpit committee invited me to serve as pastor and sure pastor. I agreed with the clear and wavering commitment that I'll serve as your pastor. If you're going to know the mind and heart and will of God, you will not find it by just sitting around and waiting for me to tell you what. You must come before him asking. seeking his will and the direction for your life, how do you play a part in this process? I have my responsibility. You have your responsibility. We can work together. We can partner. We can share together. But we have to hold up our end of what God wants us to do. I agree with an unwavering, clear commitment that I'll serve as your pastor. If you're going to know the mind, the heart, and the will of God, again, you're not going to do it by just sitting around. You come before him asking and seeking his will and direction. Are you seeking from him to know his will? Are you asking him to reveal to you his will? Three people have confirmed to me in the last 2 weeks about things that I've said we need to be praying about, things that we need to be doing. I spent time this morning talking about it. We can invite everybody in this community to come. Well, folks, we don't have anything when they get here. We need 5 Sunday school classes right now. We need more online workers right now. We need more people to do more things. And we're going to have people come and join Pinecrest Baptist Church. I was reminded, Mickey, we're not going to have more until more come. And they were right. We're in a catch-22. What do? We come back in prayer to God. And we begin to prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. Hence, experiencing God's study. A way that we can understand how God can and will work in our lives. You have to see it. You have to ask, and you have to knock. I know that's out of order, but I've been talking about seeking. We're asking, we're seeking, but we also have to knock. Knock. If you study the language, and I'm told by people that know what they're talking about, the Greek language did not have a word that conveyed this kind of thought. And so there's a word that is made up that talks about a continuous action. We keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking over and over. I had a conversation with my sister yesterday, Betty, my older sister, that thinks she's still my mom, living in Arkansas, and I'm trying to talk to her. She's got a new dog. And that dog barked the whole time we were on the phone. Now my phone connects to my hearing aid. So I'm hearing this dog in Arkansas just as loud as he was sitting in my lap barking at me. And I'm hearing Betty, and I said, Betty, knock that thing in the head. Hurry it off. Shut it up. Put it outside. Something. And finally, I just said, I can't hold my contact in my ears. We've got to stop this conversation. So she sang happy birthday, and we went our separate ways on the phone. But it's one of those situations when we're knocking. It's consistent. That dog was consistent in its barking the whole time. You and I are not wearing God down by our knocking. We're showing a commitment to him. It's not a one and done type of thing. There's people that believe you just pray one time, you don't have to pray anymore. It's over with. That's not what Jesus taught us. That's not what he's saying here. We are going to be keep on going. There was always a way that I had to find my way around. Years ago, I knew how to read a map. We would take a map and unfold it. I can't tell you how many maps I have that I've bought through my life in ministry. Because I would take a map and say, okay, this is how I get to where I want to go. Well, when in a disaster, the roads are out, the bridges are gone, you can't go that way. So you have to find another way. And you would go back to the map, and you would keep looking until I could get away around. Sometimes there were 30 or 40 miles to go 2 blocks to get around what was the destruction. Much easier today with our apps and our phone. They'll tell us up front how to get around what we need to do. Well, it's not a one-and-done thing. You have to be persistent, just like I had to be persistent to get where I needed to go. There are many obstacles in finding and doing God's will. Many times, it's the sins that are in our lives that prevent us from knowing and doing the will of God. If sin is in our life, God's not going to hear us. He's going to wait till we confess our sin and forgive us the cleanses of our sins. Anger in our hearts is a sin. Bitterness in our heart is a sin. Unforgiveness in our heart and our lives is a sin. And they prevent us from knowing and doing the will of God. Those attitudes, those actions will always prevent us from knowing and doing and experiencing the peace and will of God. But in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, I believe Jesus' words were much more basic than even that. You see, Jesus was establishing his new kingdom. That's the whole purpose of 5th, 6th, and 7th chapter of Matthew. He's introducing the new kingdom. The ray of Judaism was going to be no more as far as God's worship and praise were concerned. God was over with it. And he sent Jesus to become the means by which we can know and serve him. You see, Israel had not been faithful. They had not been obedient. They were not doing what God wants. So God planned a new kingdom before the creation of the world. And Jesus was declaring the beginning of this new kingdom. The Beatitudes taught us how to become a part, how to live in that new kingdom. And Jesus declared that the members of that new kingdom would pray and talk to the Father and give clear example of how to pray to the Father. If you want to be in the kingdom, you simply act, is what he said. And the point of the earthly father giving good gifts to the children demonstrates Jesus is in teaching. You ask, God will give you the Holy Spirit. You seek a relationship with God, and he will come live in you. That's the point of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The immersion in the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Paul said in Ephesians 1:13, in him you also are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believe, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the kingdom of God, until the redemption of the passion, until the praise to his glory. If you ask him, he will save you. He will mark you as one of his children, and you do not have to beg God. The Holy Spirit comes, and you are saved and sealed. The great problem is we do not give him control of our lives. We do not follow where he's leading. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Our God is so kind and so gracious. If you just simply seek him, you will find him. He's not hiding from you. He's not far away. He's not remote from the world or from your life. If you're seriously desired to get into the kingdom, all you have to do is knock, Jesus said. The gate will be open. The way will be open. You see, you will ask God, and he will teach you to pray. If you do, he will provide you the same word that you can say to him. He will expect you to acknowledge the Heavenly Father as the provider and sustainer of life with your worship and praise of him. See, that's why we come together. Not just because it's a safe place, not just because it's a good place to be. It's because we're binding ourselves together in worship and praise of him. He will also help you understand your prayers must come like one of his children, and they will be heard and answered by the Heavenly Father. So how do you come to be his child? We've said it so many times. To make God your Father as simple as the ABC. And today, if you've never believed and never confessed him as Lord, then you do not have a personal relationship with him, but you can have it. You can receive Christ if you admit that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Bible says we all sin. If you believe Jesus died for you, he told us that if you will receive him when you ask him into your heart and life, believe in his name. Then you confess Christ as Lord of your life. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And maybe that you are a believer, but you're not living for him. You're not serving him. You're not involved in regular worship, prayer, Bible study. You're not understanding the things God wants. Maybe it's time that you accept him as Savior and you dedicate yourself to become a disciple of his. And you can do that through that simple prayer of asking him to become your Lord and Savior and then follow him through baptism into the baptismal waters, depicting what has taken place in your heart and life, that you're dead to the old self, buried, and you rise to walk in a new life with him. Maybe you've done that in the past, but maybe today it's time for a rededication, a renewal, a recommitment to him, his work, and a process of serving him, a boldness to serve him. Maybe you need to be committed to speak the word of the Lord to friends in boldness. Maybe you need to be sensitive. You commit yourself to be sensitive to his leadership. You can be a church member through baptism, transfer a letter, on statement if you're in church. Are available to send the letter. These are simple ways that you can say, yes, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. I remind you that he said, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Maybe today is that day you need to make a confession, a renewal, a commitment to what you ask. Maybe today you need to begin to ask, see, and knock the way Jesus described it. You have. It would be a great time to do. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful today that you give us your word to study and understand your will and purpose for our lives. We come today asking you to move in our midst. We seek a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our church. Father, we are knocking on your door asking you to move in our lives that you show yourself so plainly. May it be like the burning bush experience that Moses had and you called him to service. May it be a demonstration like it was when the Holy Spirit came and the disciples preached in languages they had not learned, and your spirit moved fresh in you and the world. We invite you now, Father, to hear our prayers, to hear our commitments, to accept our offering of ourselves, to use us in whatever way you please. Move in our midst now, for we simply ask you to hear us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.